from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
The 8 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, checking right back in. Let's get right back to it. I mean, what else did you expect me to talk about? Clay Holmes. I was on yesterday, live from Fanatics Fest, 12 to 3. It was incredible. Never did a live show before. Didn't have internet. The internet in there was not staying connected. My hotspot wouldn't connect. There's live things going on. I thought I saw DJ Khaled. Later on, I check Instagram. DJ Khaled was there. I was right about that. Somebody slid me a note. It was actually our guy Steve, who does our audio. Jay-Z may come over, and I saw. I'm like, this is too much for me. This is too much. Jay-Z might come over. Jay-Z's right above me. The 4040 Club is right behind WFAN setup. So there's just massive amounts of people pulling up with their cameras and trying to get pictures and videos of the VIP area was like overlooking the WFAN setup. And then I pull in my guy, Joe's McFly. We used to do the Pinstripe Strong podcast together. Joe's and I go back years before Joe's went viral with the Rafael Devers taking Aroldis Chapman deep. And way before anybody really knew me either. So it was great to pull him in. And then out of nowhere, I still haven't gotten to the bottom of this. Who got Gary V for me? Right? I don't have that much clout. I don't have that much pull. I'm a huge Gary Vee fan. There's a bunch of tweets and Instagram posts from years ago, me talking about how I got to meet Gary Vee and thank him for the inspiration. I wouldn't have gotten to this point if it wasn't his YouTube videos and his words almost daring me to quit my job and chase my dreams. And then I'm sitting there and I see Gary. I'm like, hey. And then I realize he's coming to join me. I'm holding back tears. I'm like, I'm about to cry. Almost cried again on air. I'm like, I can't cry here. There's too many people around. And that too, I'm throwing the football with fans. Shout out to everybody that showed up for the beginning of my show and everybody that stayed through the whole 3 hours and then everybody that pulled up in between every break, right? Usually during the break, I'm looking at box scores. I'm looking for, you know, news and things happening. And during the break, I'm taking pictures with everybody. I'm signing autographs. I'm like, this is incredible. Fanatics Fest was great. WFAN Odyssey did a great job with the booth and the presentation. It was an amazing 3 days. And again, shout out to the fans that love the fan and listen to the fan and show us so much love. I'm like, I don't even deserve all of this. But it's crazy. The radio is such an intimate platform. People listen to you in their ears at night, me specifically, at night before they go to bed, or some people during their shift, or some people on that drive home, and you don't know who you're reaching. You know, I come in here at night, it's getting dark now, and you know, most of the people have left the building, sales team and the daytime guys. It's usually like 3 or 4 guys in here. You forget how many people you've reached. So it's great to break that wall between callers and even social media and get to meet so many of you. Thank you. 888-808-1019. Let's see if I can get a couple calls in before my guest comes through. Leo is in Elizabeth. Leo, you got it.
Hey, Keith. Your show is great yesterday. I listened to it on my drive to Brooklyn.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
I wanted to have a question about Brian Cashman. Why is it that he doesn't take any flack? Like, he's messed up the last 4 deadlines. Why can't Steinbrenner, like, fire him already? He hasn't done anything since 2009.
He takes a ton of slack. They are planning Fire Cashman Night number 2. I guess this is going to be an annual thing, like Old Timers Day.
I'm saying the owner.
He takes a ton of flack, but, like, yeah, exactly. Like, inside the building, he's the eternal GM. He's untouchable, bro. Cashman does a lot for the New York Yankees. Cashman is the general manager. He's doing more than making trades and signing players. He's such a part of the fabric of the New York Yankees. There is no New York Yankees in these last 30 years without Brian Cashman, you know? Like, so I joked last year. what's he done? Like, if you actually pull up his resume, that like that's not a good argument. Thanks for the call, Leo. Appreciate you listening to me on your drive. But like, you know, if you actually pull up Brian Cashman's resume to say what he's done, that's not a good argument. You have to say, what has he done for you lately? You can't say, what has he done? He's the most decorated GM. Like, there's not any other GM in baseball that when you actually pull up when they started to now, what they've done. But unfortunately for Brian Cashman is, you know, you're not doing this in Milwaukee. You're not doing this in Arizona. You're doing this in New York for the New York Yankees with their history and their fan base and all the resources that they have. And he himself said it, if you don't hoist that trophy up at the end of the year, it's a failure. So knowing that, Cash, why don't you do more? Like, that's where I'm lost. You know, I went on Foul Territory right after the trade deadline ended. Foul Territory is a baseball podcast, I think arguably the best baseball podcast out there. And they're looking at me, and my first reaction was, like, my hands were up in the air. I'm like, that's it? That's it for this year, which could be 1 year of Juan Soto? This year where Judge should win the MVP again? That's it? Cole is getting older. Stanton is getting older. DJ already looks old. Rizzo already looks like that's it for this team that's in a championship window. We didn't stack the deck and give up a couple prospects. I heard someone calling earlier today, oh, well, the Yankees don't have the prospects again. What are you talking about? The Yankees have a bunch of top prospects that everybody knows their names. You've seen them. They just won't detach from them. They're playing the long game, and I don't know. I understand planning for the future, but you got to strike right now. Rocky's in North Brunswick. Rocky, you're on the Fan.
Well, hey, Keith. It's a pleasure as always. I really enjoy talking to you. Your show's awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If I just make a couple of quick points, I'm up against the guest. First point, Yankees should have got a pitcher. I'm not going to, you know, be an echo chamber. We all know that pitching wins championships. Cashman did not go out and get a pitcher.
A starting pitcher. And better relief pitchers, yes. A closer.
Agreed. Exactly. Oh, my God. Exactly. But I'm not going to do the echo chamber. I did want to take you to task on one thing, though. You said you would take Aaron Judge over Mickey Mantle. I'm sorry, Keith, but Mickey Mantle came up in the big spots all the time, came through in the postseason.
And he's Aaron got Judge championships. He's got rings. He's got postseason pedigree. Yeah. Judge does not.
And he's a switch hitter. I mean, he's the greatest switch hitter of all time, period. I mean, the guy had power from both sides. I mean, Mickey Mantle was like an anomaly. I mean, I've seen the guy play toward the end of his career, but the guy's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, but did he face guys throwing 99? Did he get intentionally walked? Did he have to carry the New York Yankees in a modern-day era where they're cutting in from college football games to watch his at-bats? I just feel like the pressure cooker that Judge is doing all of this in, and this modern day baseball, the way they have guys come out of the bullpen specifically to get you out, and they fear him. I don't know. I'm all the way on Judge is the greatest. Thanks Judge. For the call, Rocky. 888-808-1019. Trying to get another call in before my guest comes. Edwin and T-Neck, you got it. You're on.
Hey, Keith. Thank you for having me on. Your show is great. This is a coaching problem. Why are they putting him in a position to fail, Holmes in a position to fail? When you have a runner on second base, he's a ground ball pitcher. So right away you're starting off
well,
a negative. If he's on first base.
He pitched the ninth last night. He put that runner on. He's not a 10th inning guy. And you're right about it being a coaching thing and a coaching decision. It's the manager's job to say, no, I'm not going out like this. But you bring up a good point that's in my notes. Like, I was telling you guys this in the beginning of the season. You think that this is Aaron Boone's last year of his contract? It is not. You think that, like, something can happen from now till the end of October that's going to actually, like, get Aaron Boone up out of here? There isn't anything. Like,
no,
and he is telling you that by consistently rolling Clay Holmes out there over and over and over again. He's telling you, this guy cannot do his job, and my job will not be affected by it.
I like Boone, but the biggest thing is, right now, there is no dominant closer, so you have to do CBC. It's closed by committee. So,
but like, right, so there's no dominant bullpen arm. Play the matchups.
Right.
And when we get to
right
the
now,
postseason,
exactly.
I heard Evan lean into this, and this was also in my notes. Man, in the postseason, like, we all remember, I hope. Thanks for the call, Edwin. Gerrit Cole was raring to come out of the bullpen for the Houston Astros. trying to win that World Series. Back when we had, I guess, Cheating Cole with the Astros, Spider Tack, and who else knows what other type of stuff they do out there. Cole was ready to come out of the bullpen for the Houston Astros in 2019 against the Nationals, Juan Soto and company. He didn't get his chance. And when that game ended and the Astros were the eventual losers, Cole stood at his locker with a Boris Korp hat on, not an Astros hat. You knew he was out of there. Him and Scott Boris were going to the highest bidder, the New York Yankees. Now, if you're on hold, please hold. Stay there, and you'll stay in your position in line, and we'll get to you. Joining us right now, you may remember, I feel like it was cold. I don't remember exactly the time and date, but I told this guy just at Fanatics Fest, I had a dad bring up the Jewish Floor Hockey League, the like indoor hockey league that we talked about. Eitan the goalie, Eitan Levine, joins me again on The Fan. I had him in studio months ago. He's back because he's throwing out a first pitch at Citi Field. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm rolling. I'm glad we could bring you in, man. I was trying to get this guy to come in on Haley Welch night, Hot Tuna night, but like, you know, whatever. Here you are tonight. Tell us what you've been doing, the cause, the journey you've been on, and how this came about for you to throw out a first pitch at Citi Field for the New York Mets.
Yeah, so this summer I am breaking the Guinness record for the most ceremonial first pitches thrown over the course of the year. 50 pitches to raise money for Make-A-Wish. I had cancer. I got a Make-A-Wish. I'm really excited to be giving back to them. I've thrown out 38 pitches to date. Yesterday I was in Worcester at the Worcester WooSox. I was in the Hudson Valley Renegades on Saturday. Tomorrow I drive to Syracuse to do the Syracuse Mets, and then I drive right back for Wednesday afternoon. We're getting the record on Wednesday at Citi Field. The record is currently unclaimed on Guinness at 40. So Wednesday is the 40th pitch.
Awesome. Like, when you think about the Guinness Book of World Records and any records in sports, like, I don't think I do own some high school records, but I'm not going to flex. I'm giving you your props. Oh, you saw an opportunity to go out and get something, and you've made it happen, and you've done the travel, and you've done the hotels, and the different nights, and sleeping in different places, and now it's coming to an end. You're coming to the finish line. How does it feel? Does it feel surreal?
It's insane. Let me just say also, on the sleeping and the travel, the past couple of weeks, I've gone from Vancouver to the Vancouver Canadiens, and I drove down to the Portland Pickles, who actually just won their league championship. Then went from Portland to Oakland to throw out the Oakland A's. Then the A's, after that, I went to Seattle. Then Seattle back to San Francisco to do the Stockton Ports and the San Francisco Giants. I then spent one night in the Indianapolis airport a couple of days ago, sleeping in Terminal B in the Indianapolis airport, to get a bus to go to throw a first pitch down at the Fort Wayne Pin Caps. Went back, spent another night in the Indianapolis airport, landed a couple days ago. So the travel has been insane. I don't know what time zone I'm in anymore. It's been kind of crazy. And honestly, the reason why this all kind of happened was because a couple of months ago, you know, I got family in Israel. Everything's been kind of like dumpy over the past couple of months. It's been a very chaotic time in America. And when I was just like doom scrolling one night, I came across the record unclaimed at 40. And it felt like a good way to just kind of like sidestep all the politics and everything that was kind of like happening in America over the past couple of months and up until now. Just going to go to minor league and major league baseball stadiums my entire summer has been, you know, mentally it's been great.
We're on the phone right now with my guy, Eitan Levine. I first came across him. He was right down the street at 325 Hudson when Amazon was doing their sports talk show. And you know what? This guy's got thousands of followers on Instagram. He's a comedian, a writer. You know, we connected and talked about our journeys. And now his journey has taken him to all these different ballparks and stadiums. Man, tell us what stadium surprised you, who had the best food, or something that you came across that you want to share with the audience.
Yeah, first of all, I went to Polar Park yesterday, minor league stadium in Worcester. That was stunning, absolutely stunning. That one, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and the Hartford Yard Goats, I think were the three nicest minor league stadiums. And honestly, Fort Wayne was pretty good. Hartford was funny because there's nothing else in Hartford at all. Hartford is barren except for that stadium. And Jacksonville also. Jacksonville was garbage. I hated Jacksonville, but that stadium was like, super, super nice. Jacksonville's a dump.
I think I went there when they were the Jacksonville Suns. I used to go down to Jacksonville as a kid in the summer. I think they used to be the Suns, and now they're the Jumbo.
They rebranded. I mean, it's a fascinating story about, like, they rebranded, and I was talking to the owner, the entertainment guy, and he, when they rebranded to the Jumbo Shrimp, the initial reaction was everyone being like, that name's terrible, you know, like, how dare you, like, we're going to miss the Sun. And he knew that the renaming works because he showed up day one after they were changed, and there was a line of people that all already had the merch on for the Jumbo Shrimp. So it is, it's funny going to some of these teams, and they have, like, new names. And occasionally I'll ask them, I'll be like, oh, like, I love this new name. And they're like, oh, we hate this new name. We like the old name. And I'm like, well, what's the old name? And they're like, the Kansas City Jews. You know, like, there's always, like, a weird back name to them. I'm Jewish. I can say that, everybody at home.
I was about to say, please let people know that you're Jewish. A lot of your stand-up comedy is Jewish-related jokes. Right now, here's an update for your Metsies. If you're watching the game, I know you just saw 3-0. Tyrone Taylor drives in Pete Alonso. Let's go, Mets!
Yeah! The Mets, you know what my biggest fear is? Honestly, Keith, my biggest fear is that I throw a first pitch and then they lose 15 in a row. That is, like, I am terrified that I throw a first pitch this Wednesday.
Funny,
and I reverse
you
grimace.
Say that. We've had so much talk about the first pitches that have gone on in Citi Field. I have two questions for you. You kind of got to one. One, I want to know, how did this come about? Who did you talk to? Because we all are wondering, like, how do the Mets go about choosing people? Obviously, you have Make-A-Wish and you have the Guinness Book of World Records. Like, those are two obvious causes and reasons that you're going to get to throw out a first pitch. So you can tell us a little bit of how it came to be as far as who you talked to and that part. But also, what about the pressure, dude? Like, Grimace had an entire run. People were still showing up in Grimace costumes. And now Hot Tuna Girl, Haley Welch, showed up there. She had a cause, but nobody knew it until the day after. Like, how do you follow up after all this?
Yeah, I'll answer these questions in a row. First off, I have, like, 150,000 followers on TikTok and Instagram doing, like, Jewish-themed comedy content. And a lot of these places, a lot of the teams, they all have Jewish heritage days. Like, I just threw out a pitch at the Oakland A's Jewish Heritage Day. So I had, like, kind of already known the infrastructure of throwing these pitches. But once I, like, got one on board, like, when we got the first MLB team on board, all of a sudden, like, we were able to get a couple others. Every time we got, like, another thing involved, it kind of, like, added legitimacy to the pitch thing. It's been kind of, like, fascinating. You know, we're at a point where, like, Rawlings is the official ball of the 51st Pitches Project, which was crazy. I can't say, this isn't official, but, like, I may be working with, like, Alaska Airlines on this. So it's like any time there has been a thing where, like, it should added, like, legitimacy and credence to it, it's, like, helped with the project. On Grimace and Hakua, what's fascinating about the Hakua girl is that she has, like, completely rebranded herself into this, like, interesting philanthropic point. And I think that, like, some of the internet, whatever, they knew who she was. They knew about what she was doing. I will say the Venn diagram of WFAN listeners, Met fans, WFAN hosts, and then her fan base, there's no crossover at all. So it was kind of funny watching, like, Hakua go to Citi Field, everyone being like,
who
the
heck is
that? She
never went to a baseball game. She said she never went to a baseball game.
Crazy. But good job on good job on the PR team at Citi Field.
It worked.
They recognized that.
Viral again.
They saw it. It totally worked. It was the news. It was like, Keith, you were trending, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Like, over the past week because of this.
I saw the tidal wave coming. I just laughed. I showed my wife. I'm like, my tweet making up a quote from her is going to approach 4 million views. Like, I was listening to BT and Sal, and I'm like, wait, BT and Sal are reacting to it. I'm like, I gotta find this on Twitter. As soon as I found it on Twitter, I just kept. I've stayed away from the girl. I didn't want to give the girl any extra clout. But as soon as it entered New York City and New York sports, I'm like, here we go. I know how to lean right into this. The trolling, the internet stuff, viral. I'm like, I'm gonna get my cut off this for sure.
People sent me your quote. It was actually crazy. People were sending me like, look at this, and I was like, hey, that's Keith. So you read the right train.
I had a Yankees beat writer hit me up and say, wait, she had a press conference? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what do you think the Mets asked her? He's like, I don't know, but that quote was ridiculous. I said, yeah, I made it up.
That was actually, that was insane how many people, I don't think anyone who texted it to me knew that it was a made up quote. I think that's, a lot of people, it was actually wild watching people react to that.
Nobody cares about the truth. You know, facts don't matter. In this Twitter cesspool, you can jump into the pool with absolute nonsense like I did, and then it goes viral. I muted that. I muted that post as soon as I sent it.
It would be kind of funny if she actually gave a very, like, level-headed, like, very informative press conference where she sat down there and she was like, first off, we gotta promote Brett Beatty again, okay? Like, she sits down. She's like, I'm not... The bullpen, we need to fix our bullpen, okay? We got to hop to the offseason, to the waiver wire, and pick up a couple
people.
She
was there when Mark Vientos hit second, and he had the two homers. So I first was thinking to write something like, I even was like, oh, Mark Vientos, young generation. He's trying to impress Hark to a girl. I thought to have her write something about how, like, Carlos Mendoza, he's a magician. He's done it again with the lineup. He put Mark Vientos second. Look what you get. But then the Mets blew the game, and then the running joke was, of course they had Hawk to a girl, and then they go out there and blow the game.
Yeah, that's the other issue, is that if they had won that, it would have been completely different.
I thought they
were. I don't
know
if it would have gotten the same.
I thought
like,
they were. I'm like, print the shirts. These are the Hawk to a Mets. And that's what I'm saying to you. The Grimace run ended, and I thought she was going to have her own run. You have a chance right now. Don't think about the Mets going 0-15. What if you throw out this first pitch Wednesday for them to sweep the Baltimore Orioles and then go on the road trip and then they sweep the Padres, they sweep the Diamondbacks, and then we wake up sometime next week and the Mets are at the top of the wild card race?
I'm ready for the Eitan Levine Mets. I think that that was the next logical. We had the Gay Grimace Mets in June. We got the Hawk 2 on the Mets. We had, remember Max Wiener in the beginning of the Mets 5?
Yes, the rally pin.
In the beginning of the season. This has been the quirkiest season in so long. And you know what's been funny is that there's so much joy in this season versus other seasons with the Mets. We came into this season with zero expectations at all. And then all these little side characters had given us bumps along the way. It's been fascinating.
OMG, you get a Jose Iglesias, a journeyman veteran type guy. He comes up, he drops a hit single, and it becomes the celebration. They hit home runs. They have an OMG sign. They're selling $50 OMG signs in the team store.
That has got to be one of the all-time, like, best moments that you could possibly have is like a walk off, and then they play your song.
Oh, he
it would be funny if he had it. He had a bad voice, and they were playing his you know, his bad voice. But what's been interesting also, just like on first pitches in general, this year, and like the concept of first pitches have been blown out across the MLB marketing standpoint. I think that a lot of places are realizing that when it comes to trying to get eyes on the teams and eyes on the Instagram people, they're going out for these bigger, you know, random internet celebrities and stuff like that. I went to and then highlighting it on their Instagram in ways that they haven't before. When I was at the Minnesota Twins, Haley Bailey, who's another TikTok star, was also throwing a first pitch. So I think that what's interesting is that when it comes to marketing, these first pitches are such an easy win for social media clout that we're seeing them more and more on Instagram timelines and TikTok timelines than we ever have before.
Yeah, my boy Nicky Cass threw out a pitch for the Mets, and he's a TikTok star. And obviously he's from Long Island, maybe Staten Island. He's from New York. And, you know, now
I think his dad is the LIRR.
Okay.
That is the most New York, Long Island dude I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know Nicky Cass then. So, like, what I'm saying is it makes sense for someone like yourself who's a New Yorker, him who's a New Yorker, but it doesn't have to make sense. Haley Welch from Tennessee, never been to a baseball game, but that's the biggest first pitch that they had, and it came after the Grimace first pitch, which was like, that came out of nowhere. I was giving props to David Stearns. I'm like, the guy's a marketing genius. McDonald's is tweeting about the Mets. They're all in on this.
Yeah. Fun fact is that I was supposed to originally, if you remember a couple months ago, I was supposed to throw out a first pitch, and that was actually the Grimace day. So they rescheduled me into August.
You got bumped for Grimace?
I messaged my contact there to ask about that. I was like, did I get bumped for Grimace? And she was like, you know, officially no. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be telling people that I got bumped for Grimace.
Yeah.
And that I have a little bit of the, that I have a little bit of the reason why the Grimace match happened.
What a butterfly effect. Maybe they don't go on that run if you didn't step down and say, you know what, Grimace, it's his birthday. He's got it.
You know what? That's interesting. If I threw out that day and the Mets ended up having an under 500 run over the next, there's a good chance Pete Alonso is not on the team anymore. There's a good chance that they went into selling mode immediately after I throw a pitch out there.
All right, before I let you go, man, we got to talk Jewish Indoor Floor Hockey League, which I knew nothing about. And then I fell down that rabbit hole. And now multiple Jewish friends and strangers have come up to me to say, hey, thanks for bringing that to WFAN. I'm like, I can't take credit for that. We just got into the conversation. That's all Eitan. Eitan brought that up. They don't remember you. They give me credit for it. I'm like, nah, that's all Eitan stuff. I had no idea. I didn't think that was a real thing.
Let me tell you, Keith, you have an opportunity to lean in to becoming the number one broadcaster for Metro Yeshiva High School Hockey. Okay? The Ramaz Rams, the RTMA Lightning, the DRS Wild, the Dennis R. Renup School of Judaic Studies Wildcats. They're all waiting for you to decide to sign off on them.
I'm down. I mean, I've gotten this far with it. I don't have an agent. Talk to my agent when I get my agent, and we'll set it up. That could be my next big thing. The voice of the Jewish Indoor Floor Hockey League. What's it actually called?
The MYHSHL. And based on the demographics of the agency world in New York, I think that your agent or manager probably does have a kid that plays on a Jewish agency. There was a famous thing that happened when I was at JEC. Before I was at, I went to JEC High School. I'm sure that there's probably 10 people at home in their cars. They're just like, oh my God, he said it. But I went to JEC RTMA High School. Famous story that happened where they were playing Ramaz. And a fight happened during the game. They called the game early. And then after the game, JEC ran onto the Ramaz bus. And, like, there was a fight that happened on some, like, yellow bus between these two hockey teams that was, like, confined to the bus. Because if they went out, then they were gonna get in trouble and, like, ripped off each other.
See, now we need a whole behind the scenes. We need a Hard Knocks. We need a...
Harsh Locks.
Hey, yo, get out of here, bro. Eitan Levine, follow him online. Eitan the goalie. Good luck with your first pitch.
By the way, 50firstpitches.com. If you want to donate to Make-A-Wish, 50firstpitches.com out there. All the money goes to Make-A-Wish. There's a direct link when you go to 50firstpitches.com that sends you that goes directly to Make-A-Wish. So if you want to donate out there, like I said, I had cancer. I got a Make-A-Wish. There's a reason. They're an incredible organization. No matter how you feel politically or whatever in the world, we all agree giving to cancer kids is a worthwhile cause. So donate over there.
Yes, sir. Well done. Eitan Levine, ladies and gentlemen, at Eitan the goalie.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Okay, I got like 25 minutes for us to keep hating on Clay Holmes and lobbying for the Yankees to remove him as our closer. Let's get right back into it. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Mickey D is in Jersey. What's up, Mickey? You got it.
Hey, Keith. Mickey D from Wayne. Thanks for taking my call. First time, long time. Your boy Levine, does he have anything on his fastball? Maybe a slider? Should the Yanks be looking at him?
Maybe. At this point, they should be looking for every potential option to get better. The deadline is done. Whoever they could bring in, figure it out.
So listen, the one thing as I'm listening to this conversation, we're very spoiled as Yankee fans. I go from Sparky to Goose to Wetland to Mariano. So we've had a very good run with closers. I don't think we have a lot of options, but you said somebody who is really interesting, Luke Weaver. I watched this guy. I know there's a very small sample size, but he seems to have the poise, and he's got a lot of movement on his ball, and he's really strong in the first few innings that he throws. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I like his demeanor. I like his stuff. I like his attitude. I don't think it'll be too big of a challenge for him, right? It wasn't too big of a challenge initially when they decided Clay Holmes would take on the closer role and also steal it from Aroldis Chapman, right? Now a lot of Yankee fans are wishing they traded for Aroldis Chapman at the deadline. Yeah, they should have sent him back from the Pirates. Like, I think that it can be closer by committee. I think it can be case by case, play the matchups. I don't understand how it can be August 19th and your closer has 10 blown saves. I don't believe that you believe that he's the closer for the rest of the year, no matter what. I think that this is the breaking point. Double-digit blown saves makes it so you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to write articles about it. You don't have to scream it from the rooftops. But we cannot get in another one- or two-run game and throw Clay Holmes out there expecting different results. Can't.
Totally agree. Thank you so much for your comments.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Paul in Fort Lee. Paul, you're on next.
Hey, Keith, how you been?
Good, man. Minus the whole Clay Holmes keeps coming out there and nobody's surprised. Nobody's surprised.
Especially not me, because I called you, you know, about him, the agita that he gives, and now he's giving everybody else that. I know that we've talked and you a couple months ago. You were like, no, don't put Luis Hill in the closer role. And maybe not this year.
No, it's an option now. Everything's on the table now. Luis Hill struggled against the White Sox. It's on the table now.
I think that we need to have Mariano Rivera started out as a starting pitcher. Turned in, we need to set ourselves
apart. Most of these guys do. I hear people talking about put Carlos Rodon out there. I am open to anything besides doing the same thing that has lost us games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you watch this guy and you're like, okay, we got lucky. Brian Cashman gets lucky with the players that he picks up on the scrap heap, and they're good for a little bit.
That's run out. Like I said, you got the Lamborghini and you got the Ferrari, but you're sleeping on a cot. Thanks for the call, Paul. Just getting a lot of interference, and we're running out of time until my next guest comes in. I got to say this, right? You don't have to be stuck doing that. It's okay. It's okay to change. It's okay to you know, and it's okay to listen to outside voices. The Yankees do it, but they wait, right? They wait till October to decide, we got to change the leadoff spot. We'll put all these different guys in the leadoff spot. We got to change the lineup because Alex Rodriguez was on the post game talking about changing the lineup. So we'll change the lineup in the middle of the ALCS. Or, okay, IKF does not have it. After our analytics told us that he's one of the best defending shortstops, blah, 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 blah. The eye test from our fan base told us he can't do it. He's got the yips in the biggest moment of the season. We will call up a young Oswald Peraza to face the best team in baseball to start at shortstop. It was too late. Don't let it be too late this year. Do not let it be too late this year. I can't have it. I can't do it. I don't know if I could actually take it. I don't know if I could actually stand going into this postseason and the Yankees losing a game because Clay Holmes blew it in the ninth. It would be the dumbest thing to let happen after you saw it happen time after time after time after time after time after time. Dominic is in East Rochester. Dominic, you're back on the Fan.
Keith McPherson, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Glad to have a five-hour show and enough sleep last night and be back in the studio. I realize how difficult it is to do a live show compared to being in the studio. I got the Met game on. I got full internet access. I have my notes. I got the calls that I can touch. Like, it's It's a different beast, but it was cool to be at Fanatics Fest. How are you, Don?
I'm good. Thanks, Keith. You can do it all. By the way, here in upstate New York, I got to tell you, it's don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. But they say up here, listen, you know I got 2 cents on home. But boy, have I been saving this. Finally, some good news for our manager, the guy that you know I have said repeatedly got the very best job in baseball without having any experience. But finally, he was managing where he belongs, on a little league field in a little league town. And, of course, he didn't disappoint. He helped blow the game. So, yeah, you know, Keith, honest to God, you had a guest that was talking about, you know, the record he's trying to set for throwing the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's trying to set the record for blown saves. It's the only thing I can figure. And I like it. It's called Pray Holmes.
Pray Holmes. Like, yeah. Pray for Clay. We got nothing else we can do.
You know, 10 out of 40. If I remember my arithmetic, that's 25%. So let's say we got 10 games in the postseason that require a save. Then he's going to blow like 2 or 3 of them? That's all? What am I supposed to say? That's not too bad? You know, last night, Keith, We gave this Cy Young, well, you said the guy's going to win the Cy Young, a run for his money.
Yeah.
Stroman went toe-to-toe with him.
Held.
Keith, get a load of this. Torres hustled last night, and he scored the run.
Yeah, he got through to him, finally. His last hurrah.
You know, and then this guy comes in, and a note, Keith, listen. They must know that this guy cannot close.
They know.
I mean, the pitching coach has to know. Keith, even the body language is bad. It's really bad. He looks scared out there.
He should be. He knows he doesn't have it. The Yankees have to stop him. He's never going to come out. Like, you know what? Last year when Luis Severino said, I feel like I'm the worst pitcher in baseball, this guy's never going to come out and say, I feel like I'm the worst closer in baseball. He's just going to keep doing what they ask him to do. And hope and pray for Clay. He's praying for himself while he's out there.
He's got to get a job next year. So, of course, he just isn't a closer. But they must know that. So what are they going to do now? You know, you guys, people have mentioned various things and so forth. It's going to kill me to say this, Keith, because I love this guy. I love this guy. But they may have to put Heel in the bullpen and make him the closer, which is going to be killing two birds with one stone because, you know, they're trying to save the guy's pitches and so forth.
Yeah, I'm not against it now. I was only against it, Dom, because I see him as the game two starter. But if he does not pitch like he did in the first half of the year and he's pitching more like he has in the second half or how we struggled against the White Sox, It's going to come a time real soon where they're going to make a decision about his innings and how many pitches he's thrown. And not for nothing, if Stroman can be solid enough like he was last night and the start before that, you can consider him taking the ball as a veteran, a 10-year guy in Major League Baseball. Obviously, Gerrit Cole game one, maybe Carlos Rodon. They're getting Clark Schmidt back. Cody Poteet is on the way back. Like, they have some options in the starting rotation where we don't have to be married to Clay Holmes as the closer, and we don't have to be married to Luis Heel as a starter. Wait. Like, use what you got.
He's got to be out, period. But, you know, listen, we're going to have 3 starters in the postseason. You got Cole. You know they're going to start Rodon. They're not going to pay him what they pay him and not start him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stroman, you know, he's a professional. He's going to have to suck it up, and you don't know what you're going to get from Schmidt. So it remains to be seen. Now, Keith, don't get me wrong. I do not. I call him Gil. I can't help but call him Gil. But anyway,
G-I-L.
You know, but anyway, next year I want him back in a rotation. Believe me, I'm This is killing
but
me.
But we got to do what we got to do this year because this is not working, Dom. That's Dom's line. Usually Dom calls in. Thanks for the call, Dom. Dom will call in and say it's not working. I thought he was going to drop that on Clay Holmes. Instead, he went after Boone. He said Boone was back managing where he belonged. They played at something field ballpark. It was a minor league ballpark. They can't actually play. Like, I was listening to Ricky Ricardo's show and Randy Miller came on. And Randy Miller was telling him about how, you know, the Little League ballpark, like where they have the like Little League World Series, like how many seats it holds. And I think Ricky said something like, why don't they play there? And he's like, because it's 200 feet to center. The dimension, it's a Little League field. They can't play at actual Williamsport. They play at the minor league ballpark. And I had the thought last night, I'm like, is it tougher to play in front of these kids? Because those kids, they were standing up the whole game. Those kids, they were chanting. Those kids, you know, they were leaning with the Soto shuffle. They were I enjoyed those kids watching the game. I enjoyed thinking about those kids getting to see the New York Yankees, how they freaked out for Gerrit Cole and Judge and Soto. And you know what those kids had to see? Because none of them are old enough to remember a Yankees World Series. None of them were alive to see that in 2009 in Little League. They had to see what the reality is. These are the modern-day New York Yankees. Yep. These modern-day New York Yankees will go toe-to-toe with the guy that's going to win the AL Cy Young this year. They'll do that with Marcus Stroman, who they had to skip a start for just a couple weeks ago. Marcus Stroman will go out there and battle. They'll go Tommy Canley, Luke Weaver. Their bullpen will hold. And the modern-day New York Yankees do not have a Mariano. They don't even have a Rafael Soriano, Aroldis Chapman, a Miller, a Betances, or whoever. They will roll out Clay Holmes with 9 blown saves in a one-run game to decide the series, literally against the baby Tigers I've been calling them all week. Guys making their MLB debuts, rookies, a Detroit Tigers team that they know they're not playing for anything. And you're going to put Clay Holmes out there knowing that he's shaky, knowing that, like, that was the spot for me. And I was rooting for Clay. Pray for Clay. I felt like that's a spot, dude. He faced the middle of the order. Fool me, can't fool me again. Steve is in Rockland. Steve, you're on the Fan.
Man, that was a good strategy session with Dom, I got to say. So the guy asked the question, and he was, I don't know if he was asking it rhetorically, what has Brian Cashman done? And I have very bad news for him. And oh, very bad
him.
News. For,
yeah, I stopped him. And, I'm like, that's not a good
yeah,
argument.
Yeah, yeah, but I have very bad news for all those people who are going to fire Cashman night. What Brian Cashman has done is punched his ticket to Cooperstown, baby, yeah. Whether you like it or not. That guy is going to be enshrined, okay? So let's, you know, that was something you didn't, but that aside, and I got to tell you something about this Hop 2 with it. Just, this will make you laugh. At first, for a very long time, until like recently when I actually had got the time to set aside to watch the thing as it happened, I thought she was talking about A.J. Hawk and Tua Tagovailoa. That's what I thought. I thought she was some kind of football person doing some kind of football, talking about football. That's what I thought it was. And then I saw it, I was like, wow, like that was not even...
That's what that everyone's talking about? Like, that's viral? That's how you get famous nowadays? Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah, I'll say this. The whole Hawk to a Girl thing made me belly laugh. Made me laugh where, like, I could not stop laughing. Like, it was hilarious. Like, I had real tears from that. Like, I thanked the Mets for that on Twitter. I'm like, thank you. Only the Mets can out-Mets the Mets. Like, that made me laugh for a day. I'm still laughing. Even just thinking about how that came about and what transpired in that game. You can't make this stuff up. Like, that was just so funny. It came out of nowhere. I had that nowhere. Like, no, I'm thank you. Thanks. Shout out to the Mets, whoever decided to bring her through for her cause. You know, she's pairing veterans with homeless dogs, or, you know, like they're adopting dogs and pairing them up with veterans so they can have a forever home. Don't have the veteran throw out the first pitch, though. Have Hawk Tua Girl throw out the first pitch. And what did you think was going to happen on that mound? What did you think Jose Quintana was going to go out there and do? What did you think Reed Garrett and them were going to have to do after she blessed the spot? Like, man, that's one thing, too. I guess I was a little jealous prior to it. In America, we make anybody famous. We get anybody money. This girl's getting money. She's getting paid. I joked about it that night when I was on. I'm like, she's probably staying in a nice hotel. She probably went out to a nice dinner. I saw TMZ found her. She had her whole entourage. Not only is she getting paid, she's got people around her getting paid off of a 15-second viral moment. Because people are just raunchy. People just like, they can't stay away from that type of stuff. That's what type of stuff gets pushed to the forefront. Meanwhile, there are young women out here going to school, studying, working their asses off to make it out here. And that little girl goes viral and actually has like influence and a career and millions of followers and an LLC and is selling merch and stickers. Only in America.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.